Information, please. Presented each week at this time by Canada Dry, famous the world over for its fine beverages. Wake up, America. Time to stump the experts and enjoy a glass of cool, refreshing Canada Dry ginger ale. Every week at this time, the air lanes over America are crowded with questions and answers. The questions are supplied by you, and the answers by Canada Dry's four experts. Here's how it goes. For every question we use, whether or not it's answered correctly, the sender gets $5. And if your question stumps our board of experts, you not only get $10 more, but in addition you receive a complete 24-volume set of the current Encyclopedia Britannica. Mind you, this is only if your question stumps our board of experts. Our editorial staff may reword your question a trifle. Don't worry about it. Whenever there is a duplication of questions, Information Please uses the one that was received first. All questions become the property of Information Please and should be addressed to Canada Dry, 1 Pershing Square, New York City, or in Canada, Canada Dry, Toronto. And now, may I present our master of ceremonies, Mr. Clifton Fadiman, literary critic of the New Yorker magazine. Mr. Fadiman.
Ladies and gentlemen, as you know, Information Please is a completely spontaneous and unrehearsed program. The authorities who will supply the spontaneity tonight include Franklin P. Adams, conductor of the New York Post's Conning Tower, John Curran, eminent in sports and a dozen other fields, Don Gunther, the internationally famous foreign correspondent and radio commentator, author of Inside Asia and Inside Europe, and as our charming special guest from England, Miss Jan Struther, author of the current bestseller, Mrs. Miniver, and I believe the only woman editorial writer in the history of the London Times. Now remember, listeners, for each question that's missed, Canada Dry rings up $10. And that's paid out to the sender, plus 24 volumes of the latest edition of the Encyclopedia Britannica. Now, we'll start with a question that comes to us from Jay Field of the City. This will test your knowledge of current events, Miss Struther and gentlemen. You have to get 3 out of 4. It's a 4-part question. What recent news events are suggested by the following words? I have 4 of them. The first word is abdicate. Abdicate, Miss Struther.
King Carol of Romania's abdication.
Yes. In favor of whom, Miss Struther?
In favor of his son, Prince Michael.
Yes, if you want to call it a favor. That's quite right. How about lease? Lease, L-E-A-S-E. What current event does that call to mind? Mr. Gunther.
Oh, the lease by Great Britain of a number of islands near the United States in exchange for our 50 overage destroyers.
Yes, quite right. Now, how about foul, F-O-U-L? F-O-U-L. Miss Struther?
Could it be something that's been happening in Berlin at all?
Almost anything.
Yes, almost anything happening in Berlin, as Mr. Adams says, but that wasn't what I was thinking of. Mr. Kieran?
Why, Billy Kahn won a fight the other night, but that was much disputed with regard to foul blows.
Yes.
Is that the one you...
That's what I had in mind. With whom was the fight, Mr. Kieran?
He was fighting with Bob Pastor.
And who won?
A chance to get at Joe Lewis, which looks to me like a very poor chance for anybody.
Really? How was the fight won? In what round, Mr.
Well, Jones? It was won in the 13th round on a blow that felled Mr. Pastor. And the referee said afterwards that if Pastor had lasted through the round, he would have given the round to Pastor on a foul blow.
I see. And you have no opinion on it yourself, Mr. Jones, that you
can't No, sir. The referee is hired to call them, high or low.
Okay. Very good. Now, the fourth of these words, we're over the line already. It's conference. What does that recall to Miss Struther and gentlemen? Conference. Mr. Gunther?
Well,
there have
been so many. One very interesting recent one was this conference of the joint board United States and Canada for defense.
Yes, that's quite right. Now meeting where, Mr.
In
Gunther?
Ottawa, I believe.
Well, it was in Ottawa. I believe it's moved now to Washington. Well, that gives us 4 out of 4. Of course, that was a very easy question, and I think practically none of you deserves the slightest credit for answering it. Let's see what we can do with the second one, which is perhaps easier. Lois B. Walker of Mill Valley, California, sends this one in. The third one's going to be very hard, gentlemen. Name a work of fiction in which, and now there are 4 parts to this, get 3 out of 4. The first part is, name a work of fiction in which 4 sisters are among the principal characters. 4 sisters are among the principal characters. A work of fiction. Miss Struther?
The Old Wives' Tale of Arnold Bennett.
I think not. No, I think not. Mr. Gunther?
Pride and Prejudice.
No, there were 5 sisters in Pride and Prejudice. For some reason or other, you have prejudice against one of them, Mr. Gunther. There were 5 altogether. Miss Struther?
Little Women. and Good Wives.
Yes, Little Women. By whom?
Louisa M. Alcott.
You read our classics then. And can you name the four sisters in Little Women?
Meg, Jo, Beth.
And Amy.
Yes. If you had known the four of them, Miss Trevor, that would have admitted you to American citizenship. Now, how about Three Sisters? Name a work of fiction in which three sisters are among the principal characters. Mr. Adams.
Three Sisters.
That's right. Short.
By Mae Sinclair.
Three Sisters by Mae Sinclair. I hadn't thought of that one. There's another title, Three Sisters, I believe, Mr. Gunther.
Chekhov.
Chekhov's play, Three Sisters. Mr. Kieran?
King Lear by W. Shakespeare.
Yes. The well-known Mrs. Lear. Regan, Goneril, and Cordelia form a trio. Now, how about a work of fiction in which two sisters are among the principal characters, Mr. Gunther?
Oh, that is The Old Wives' Tale.
Ah, Miss Trevor threw it to you a little while ago. That's right. The Old Wives' Tale by Arnold Bennett, the two heroines, Constance and Sophia Baines. What made you think they were four?
I don't know. I guess I was seeing double.
I'm surprised.
They used to have double eyes.
That may have been it. I'm surprised, though, that with your British understatement, you should have made it four instead of two, Miss Strother. Now, how about a work of fiction in which one sister is the principal character? One sister, Miss Adams.
The Old Maid.
The Old Maid by Edith...
By Zoe Akins.
By Zoe Akins. Is she a sister? Whom is she a sister to?
I imagine to put near anybody, if that's
Well, you have, in order to be a sister, you have to have a brother or a sister, I think. Mr. Gunther?
Fanny Hurst once wrote a book called Big Sister.
That might be. I don't remember that.
I don't either.
That sounds all right to me. I'll take it. There's
that
still
a big lummox.
Not the one I'm thinking of.
There's a book by Mr. Theodore Dreiser. With the word sister.
Sister Carrie.
Yes, Sister Carrie, as Mr. Kieran says.
Whose sister was she?
She's just in the title. I don't know. Sister Carrie will do. That gives us three out of four anyway. What we might call a systematic reply, Mr. Anderson. Evelyn Banks of Van Alstyne, Texas, sends this one in. Now, these days, a great many of us in this country are thinking a good deal about canals. What longer or more dangerous journey is avoided by each of these canals? I shall name three. Get two out of three. The Suez Canal. What journey is avoided by that? Miss Strother.
The voyage round the Cape of Good Hope.
Yes, it trip around Africa to the east. What seas does the Suez Canal join?
The Mediterranean and the Red Sea.
The Mediterranean and the Red Sea is part of the lifeline of Great Britain. Now, how about the Kiel Canal? The Kiel Canal, Mr. Gunther.
Oh, that connects the Baltic and the North Sea, and therefore avoids the journey around the Kattegat and Skagerrak.
Yes.
The,
have you ever made that journey yourself in any of your travels? Is it bad or is it pretty bad?
It depends on what time of the year and what kind of a boat.
I understand that everyone is always seasick traveling through the Kattegat and Skagerrak, which would be tough on you, Mr. Gunther, considering the way you generally eat.
but not considering the way I generally sail.
Now, how about the Caledonian Canal? The Caledonian Canal. Oh, we have only one hand on that. Miss Strother.
Caledonian Canal connects the North Sea and the Little Minch, or the Great Minch, I forget which lies between Scotland and the Hebrides.
Yes. And what does the canal help one to avoid?
Well, a very long railway journey or car journey, or else going right round the north of Scotland.
Yes, which is a tough trip, I understand.
Very tough.
That's quite right. Thank you, Miss Trevor. That's very good. That gives us three out of three. Mrs. Mary Barger of Marlborough, Mass. Sends this one in. This is another literary question. Get three out of four if you can. Now, these ladies appear in literature. I'm going to give you their married names. Please give me their maiden names. The first is Mrs. Fitzwilliam Darcy. Maiden name, please. Mrs. Fitzwilliam Darcy. Have two hands. I'll ask Mr. Gunther. Miss Trevor had her hand up.
Elizabeth Bennet.
Elizabeth Bennet. In what book?
In Pride and Prejudice.
Yes. Have you read it or just seen it?
I've read it and I haven't seen it.
You read it and you haven't seen
it. But I'm going to see it.
You are going to see it.
Because Aldous Huxley wrote it there.
Oh, that's the reason. And, Mr. Adams, of course, you are not going to see it.
I am not going to see it, but I read it.
Sticking shoulder on. Mrs. Angel Clare. Maiden name of Mrs. Angel Clare. Oh, we have several hands. Mr. Adams.
Tess Durbyfield.
Yes, otherwise known as...
Tess of the Durbyfield.
Yes, a book by Mr. Adams.
Thomas Hardy.
Thomas Hardy. All right. That's very good. Mrs. John Shand. Mrs. John Shand. Maiden name, please. That is a tough one. Miss Strother.
It's a character in Barry, and it was Maggie something, but I don't remember what her name was.
I give you perfect on that. You don't have to remember the last name. Maggie is right.
Tolliver.
I beg pardon?
No.
That's Mill on the Floss, I think, Mr. Adams. Miss Strother, do you remember the name of the play in which Maggie appeared, Mr. Adams?
What Every Woman Knows.
That's right. What Every Woman Knows, and it's Maggie Wiley with her maiden name. Now, how about Mrs. Frank Kennedy? Mrs. Frank Kennedy. Maiden name, please. Mrs. Frank Kennedy. I suppose practically every one of our listening audience would know who this is. What book?
A book.
You don't want me to give you any hint at all, do you,
Mr.
Lewis.
I
beg pardon?
I think it was written by Mr. Lewis.
No, it was not written by Mr. Lewis. It would have been a very good thing from the point of view of finance if Mr. Lewis had written the book. What was the name of it? Well, It's Gone with the Wind, and the original name of Mrs. Frank Kennedy.
Oh, that old thing.
Yeah. It was Scarlett O'Hara. I think Mr. Frank Kennedy was the unfortunate second husband of Scarlett O'Hara. Well, that gives us 3 out of 4. N. Morgan sends this one in. This is a more serious question. What practical use is made of these scientific facts? There are 4 facts. Give me 3 answers out of 4. Helium is lighter than air and non-inflammable. What practical use do you make of that, Mr. Kieran?
It's used in this country particularly to fill dirigibles and free balloons.
That's quite right. Now, how about the following? Silver chloride is sensitive to light. Mr. Kieran again.
That's used on photographic film.
Absolutely right. 3. Liquid ammonia absorbs heat when it vaporizes. Now we have 3 hands. Mr. Gunther.
It's used to make artificial cold, frigidaires.
Yes, refrigeration. Frigidaire is a patent name, Mr. Gunther. Be careful.
Thank you.
Refrigeration. Wood alcohol has a low freezing point. What use do we make of that fact? Mr. Adams.
Probably keep radiators from freezing.
Radiators?
Radiators of
in the home.
Motor car.
Radiators in motor car, yes. So we make antifreeze mixtures. Out of wood alcohol and, I suppose, other ingredients. That gives us 4 out of 4. Thank you, scientists all. Robert S. Shaw of this city sends this one in. Identify these characters from their descriptions of themselves. Get 2 out of 3. Now, you may recognize the source of all these quotations. 1, quote, "And why am I guiltily mad? Because I am thoroughly bad." Who? Adams.
Sir somebody Murgatroyd.
Yes, to be found in what work, Mr. Adams?
Ruddy Gore.
In Ruddy Gore by Gilbert and Sullivan. Do you remember the first name of Sir Somebody Murgatroyd, Miss Strother? Do you remember?
Rupert.
Are you a Gilbert and Sullivan fan, Miss Strother?
Well, I don't know it as well as I ought to.
Mr. Adams does.
Ruffman.
He knows it better than he ought to.
Rupert or Ruffman?
No, it was Despard. Despard. D-E-S-P-A-R-D. Very easy name to forget. 2. Quote, "I'm very good at integral and differential calculus," close quote. Who described himself thus? Miss Scudder?
I think it was John Wellington Wells, also Gilbert and Sullivan.
No, I'm afraid not. Mr. Adams?
Major General Stanley.
That's right. In what play? What opera?
Pirates of Penzance.
That's right. That gives us 1 wrong. We have to get the next one right. Miss Adams right. Miss Scudder, a little too quick on the response. A quote, "I am an intellectual chap and think of things that would astonish you." Mr. Adams again.
Private Willis in ILM.
Absolutely right. That gives us 2 out of 3 with Mr. Adams coming to bat as usual on Gilbert and Sullivan. Now let's see. The first half of the program ends with Canada Dry in the red for $0. So for a moment, perhaps Mr. Cross had better take over.
Last week, I suggested that the back-to-town movement should be celebrated by your getting in a supply of Canada Dry for use at home during the coming season. And now a tip that will come in handy during the many times that you'll be dining out at your favorite restaurant. Let your waiter know right now that when you ask for club soda in the future, you mean sparkling Canada Dry water. Start him off on the right foot so that you'll be assured of getting the club soda that brings out the flavor of your favorite drinks and adds a sparkle that will make them last longer. Canada Dry's platinum-colored bottle with a silver top is the aristocrat of the table. Make sure that this famous bottle is present when drinks are served. Of course, thousands of hotels and restaurants take it for granted that an order for club soda means Canada Dry water. But for your own taste satisfaction, see to it that Canada Dry is what you get.
Thank you, Mr. Cross. We've clocked you in exactly 50 seconds. We'll begin the second half of the program this evening with a question coming to us from A. Ross of Chicago. You're asked to name six of the eight hemisphere defense bases recently acquired from Great Britain. And we will have no errors. You have to name six right off the bat. You may all get together on this. Mr. Gunther, suppose you start us off.
I'll start it off.
Very well.
Newfoundland.
Newfoundland is right.
Bermuda.
Bermuda is right. I beg your pardon?
Bahamas. Nassau.
That's right. That gives us three. Now tell
Trinidad.
Trinidad is
British
four.
British Guiana.
British Guiana is five.
And something near the Barbados. Possibly Jamaica. I'm not quite sure.
Jamaica is six. Okay. That gives us six out of eight. Thank you, Mr. Gunther. The others have practically nothing to do now except name two more. There are two others. I think that's pretty good going, Mr. Gunther. The other two are an island, I imagine it's an island, Santa Lucia, and another, Antigua. Mr. Adams, you must remember Antigua. It's in a limerick.
End of a limerick.
Yes, the end of a limerick. That's always an easy way to remember it. That gives us six out of eight. Mr. Gunther, this is quite off the record. Would you mind working a little overtime for us this evening?
On what?
Could you tell us what protective purpose Newfoundland, British Guiana, and Jamaica would have from our point of view?
First, well, Newfoundland. In general, our defense rests on control of the Atlantic Ocean. And we can only control the Atlantic Ocean if something disastrous should happen to the British fleet. If we have protective bases, a kind of apron, on which our own fleet and aircraft, from which they can operate.
Obviously. Now, in the case of Newfoundland, what would it guard us from? An attack from what points?
Oh, from Iceland and Greenland coming down from the north.
That's right. In the case of British Guiana?
Oh, from an enemy that might possibly aim at the canal from a base that the enemy might get in Brazil. Or directly across from the Azores.
Yes, in French West Africa, which is right opposite the bulge of South America.
Except that that route from French West Africa goes to Brazil before it gets anywhere else.
They couldn't make a direct flight, you mean, to
Brazil. I really don't know the distances, but it would be easier to go at via Brazil.
Yes. In the case of Jamaica?
Well, Jamaica, again, is one of that ring of bases which protects the canal.
Protects the canal.
The canal will be further protected when we acquire bases. I think the negotiations have begun for similar islands in the Pacific, the Cocos Islands just off Costa Rica and something off Ecuador.
Yes. Well, I think we'll all agree, and Miss Struther, I think, will agree that it was a very good bargain for both of us.
I certainly do.
Yes, indeed. Now, here's a question from Joseph Bellavia of Brooklyn, New York. Very simple question. Can you name these outstanding red-headed people? Get three out of four. The first is a novelist.
Sinclair Lewis.
Attaboy. It was really too easy. I must inform those who are listening in that Mr. Sinclair Lewis is a part of the audience this evening, and his red head is very much red.
Yes. He's now known as Scarlett O'Hara.
No.
I don't know whether I ought to declare 2 minutes of silence after that one or not, Mr. Adams. How about an It girl from Brooklyn? You wouldn't know what that means, Miss Struther.
Oh, yes, I do.
Do you really? Whom have you been associating with since your arrival here?
Well, I even knew it in England, you know.
Do you have the phrase an It girl?
Yes. We've imported a lot of excellent things from this country.
It girl? Well, an It girl from Brooklyn would be, Mr. Gunther?
Clara Bow.
Clara Bow, yes. You say that with the greatest relish, Mr. Gunther.
Long memory.
A queen who was outstanding and red-headed, Miss Struther.
Well, it's not exactly a queen. I suppose I mustn't say Magda Lupescu.
No, she is not a queen. She is red-headed. Mr. Curran?
Well, you don't have to have a contemporary, do you? I was going to say Queen Elizabeth.
Yes, that would be quite right. I think that the question is aimed at the contemporary scene, but that would be a perfectly good response. Miss Struther, I'm surprised that you forget your own sovereign. Or is Queen Elizabeth not somewhat scarlet?
Queen Elizabeth?
Yes.
Oh, no, she's got dark hair.
Really?
Yes.
Down here...
Do you mean the present Queen Elizabeth?
That's good Queen Bess.
You're thinking of good Queen Bess.
Oh, Queen Elizabeth, yes, I beg your pardon. She has dark hair.
That's my girl, you mean?
That's your girl, Mr. Curran. Yes, it's the other great Queen of England, the older Elizabeth, that's quite right. Now, how about an iceman who is both outstanding and red-headed? An iceman. Mr. Adams.
Mr. Grange.
Yes.
Mr. Harold Grange.
Mr. Harold Grange, otherwise known as Red. Well, that gives us four red hats out of four and sends us on to this question from Mrs. D.J. Longfellow of Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio. Name an imaginary character who suffered elongation of the following members. Get all on this. An elongation of the neck. Miss Struther.
Alice in Wonderland.
Yes. How did she elongate her neck, Miss Strother? By what method, Mr. Kieran?
She ate a piece of the toadstool and ate the stretching side. And then she went around and ate the other side, which was the anti-stretching side, and brought herself down to a proper size again.
That's quite right, yeah. The who suffered elongation of the ears? Elongation of the ears. Mr. Kieran?
King Midas.
King Midas. Do you know the story, Mr. Kieran?
Oh, yes, he was the judge kid, of music and between Apollo and some pal of Midas, and unfortunately he gave the decision against Apollo, I believe.
Yes, favorite pan.
Yes, so therefore Apollo decided that he needed larger ears and gave him ass's ears.
That's quite right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That's 100% response as usual. Now, who suffered elongation of the nose? The nose? Oh, this is a very, very easy one. Miss Strother.
Pinocchio.
Pinocchio, yes. And there's a story by Kipling in which a character suffers the elongation of the nose. Miss Strother again.
The Elephant's Child.
The Elephant's Child, the Modesto stories. Thank you, Miss Strother. You've put your rest of the board to shame. One by a nose, so to speak. The next question comes from Frank Rahill of Philadelphia. Mention four articles of apparel that have the same names as do geographical localities. For example, Oxford would be one. No, Mr. Adams.
Cape.
I beg pardon.
Cape.
Just cape?
Yes.
What? Which cape? It has to be a special locality.
Oh.
Is there? Now, if we had a cape which was called Cape Fear or Cape of Good Hope, you would be perfectly all right, but we just haven't. Mr. Gunther.
Well, a Derby hat.
Yes,
a Hamburg hat.
Oh, yes. Derby and Hamburg. Both named after localities. Now, we have two hats. Any article of apparel. Miss Strother, did you think...
I was going to say Inverness cape.
Inverness cape. That's the one, Mr. Adams, that you no doubt were searching for. The Inverness cape. That's very good. From Scotland. Now, we have to get one more.
Dakota.
I beg your pardon?
Oh, yes.
Dakota?
Dakota. North Dakota.
North Dakota. You have a cousin. Over Dakota, you mean?
Code.
Oh, code. Yes, I see.
Get it?
Yes, I'm always a minute behind you. Mr. Kieran?
Wellington Boots.
Wellington Boots. Named not after a geographical locality, I think, but after a personage.
No, that's named as Wellington way down in New
yes,
Zealand.
Yes, that was named after Wellington, too. It all started with Wellington, I do believe.
Oh, well, all I have to have is a geographical reference, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You're splitting hairs, but you're all right.
Splitting boots. Right.
Could we name one more just for the fun of it? Well, there are...
A Shetland jacket.
A big part. Shetland jacket. That's very good. Ascot tie would be another. Tuxedo, which I do not believe is named after Tuxedo Park. Paul Clifford of Wellesley, Massachusetts, sends this one in. Give the real name of each of the writers that whose names I'm going to give you. Get 2 out of 3. The real name. C.J. Yellowplush. C.J. Yellowplush. We have Mr. Kieran and Mr. Adams. Mr. Adams?
W.M. Thackeray.
W.M. Thackeray, yes. Use that name in what work?
The Yellow Plush Papers.
Very good. Corno di Baseto. Corno di Baseto. Who is that? C-O-R-N-O space D-I space B-A-S-S-E-T-O. This is a tough one. I'm sorry, gentlemen. That is George Bernard Shaw's pseudonym, which he used when he was a music critic many, many years ago. Corno di Baseto would be what?
Horn.
Yes, the Basset horn, I could believe they call it. Now, I have to get the next one right. David Grayson. The real name. Mr. Adams?
Lives in Amherst.
We wrote Adventures in Friendship.
Yes, that's right, Mr. Gunther. You boys work together very well. He lives in Amherst, and he wrote Adventures in Friendship. But his name, gentlemen?
Ray Stannard Baker.
Attaboy, Mr. Adams. Ray Stannard Baker. That's right. The friend of President Wilson and the historian of the peace conference. That gives us 2 out of 3. These questions are not hard enough for you, I think. Here's another one. This comes from Mrs. Harrison Kitzmiller of Hudson, Ohio. I'm going to ask you to get all on this one. 3 out of 3. Identify the following stags. S-T-A-G-S. Stags. The first is the stag at bay. The stag at bay, Miss Strother?
It's a picture by Landseer.
Yes. It's
advertising the Hartford Fire Insurance Company.
Thank you, Miss Adams. Nothing like Miss Adams to bring in a professional note. That's quite right. The Stag at Bay is a steel engraving made by Thomas Landseer from a painting by Edwin Landseer. and used by the Hartford Fire Insurance Company, Mr. Adams, as you so gracefully remarked. The stag at Eve. What stag was that? Oh, we have three hands. Mr. Gunther.
The name of a series of cartoons by Peter Arno from the New York Magazine.
Well, that is the way in which you might know it, Mr. Gunther.
Sure. If the stag at Eve had drunk its fill where danced the moon on Mona's Rill. That's
Mona's Rill.
Mona's Rill.
Yeah, don't you know those lines? They're the most famous of the stag lines, Mr. Gunther. That's right. The stag at Eve, it's from a poem by Sir Walter Scott. What poem? Mr. Kieran?
Lady of the Lake.
Lady of the Lake, as Mr. Adams remarked, and as Mr. Kieran was about to remark. Now, how about stag at Sharkey's? Stag at Sharkey. Miss Curran.
That is a famous lithograph by George Bellows. I believe he later painted the same thing, but the lithograph is most famous.
Yes. And what does it describe?
It's a prize fight at Sharkey's Gymnasium.
That's right.
And the stag night.
That's right. That's it. Now we have three stags out of three. Dorothy Shipman of Philadelphia sends this one in. Suppose you're walking through a school. You see these notations on the blackboards of various classrooms. What subject is being taught in each classroom? Get three out of three. You see the word trochee, T-R-O-C-H-E-E. Mr. Gunther.
English.
English. What does trochee mean?
English prosody.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Adams. What is a trochee, Mr. Adams?
Oh, it's a certain syllabic formation in verse.
That's one of the most elegant evasions I've ever heard. Mr. Strother?
It's a two-syllable word where the accent is on the first syllable,
yes.
Such as table.
That's right. Tell me not in mournful numbers would be, Miss Chen?
I think the definition in poetry is that trochee trips from long to short, isn't it?
That's right,
exactly right, Mr. Kieran. Thank you. Now, how about scalene? You saw the word scalene. What class? Mr. Kieran?
Scalene, that would be probably a class in biology.
Oh, no.
Plane geometry.
Yeah, very plain geometry. That's wrong. Well, aorta?
Oh, that's...
Mr. Kieran?
That's biology. That's the large
outside
of the heart.
But that, I'm afraid, sends $10 to Miss Shipman of Philadelphia because we had one wrong. Thank you very much. And now, Mr. Cross, we're waiting to hear from you.
Whether it's party time or just everyday time, when thirst calls, you are wise if you say Canada Dry. For this delicious ginger ale gives you the delicate bouquet, the natural aroma of the finest Jamaica ginger, and the subtle flavor of imported spices blended with other choice ingredients by experts under Canada Dry's own secret process. A process that makes Canada Dry distinctly different, that has made Canada Dry famous where other fine beverages are served as the champagne of ginger ales. So make refreshment time Canada Dry time. It's delightfully good, pure, and wholesome. Ginger-vating.
The chimes of our cash register have jingled just once. That means that a total of $10 of Canada Dry money plus one set of the Encyclopedia Britannica has gone the way of the experts. Thank you, Miss Strother. Thank you, Mr. Gunther, for rounding out Canada Dry's little party tonight. Next week, our tested trio, Mr. Curran, Mr. Levant, and Mr. Adams will be with us. And as our guest, we announce the famous foreign correspondent and Pulitzer Prize winner, Mr. Otto Tolicious. Remember, for every question we use, whether or not it's answered correctly, the sender gets $5. And if your question stumps our board of experts, you not only get $10 more, but in addition, a complete 24-volume set of the Encyclopedia Britannica. Remember, send letters with questions and correct answers to Canada Dry, 1 Pershing Square, New York City.
The 22nd National Convention of the American Legion will be held in Boston the week of September 22nd. This meeting of delegates representing over 1 million World War veterans will be a rallying ground of Americanism. We of Canada Dry urge every Legionnaire to attend and participate in the deliberations to determine the Legion's policies for the year ahead. Remember the place, Boston, the time, the week of September 22nd. This is Milton Cross saying goodnight for Canada Dry. Until next week at this time.